Well, God is so good, and we've been in a series, really, where every sermon, every lesson starts out with the word be. If you recall, a few weeks ago, Pastor James taught a lesson, be kind, right? And then Lady taught a lesson the following week, be forgiving. Last week, I taught on be wise, and today's lesson title is be faithful. Be faithful. Say that with me, be faithful. Amen. Amen. We're going to start out in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, the Amplified Classic. It says, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. How many know trust is earned? Amen. Just doesn't happen automatically. Amen. You don't just meet somebody and 2 seconds later you pour out your life story to them. No, we don't do that. We don't start out with a DM in 1 minute and the next minute we're engaged. No, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. Right? You got to prove yourself worthy. Well, we shouldn't. I don't know what goes on today, but we'll prove himself worthy of trust. The definition of a steward is someone who watches over something for someone else. So obviously all of our God-given assignments are different, right? But all of us are stewards. You and I, we are stewards, and we are to watch over what he has given us in a manner that glorifies him. Proverbs 28 and 20, the King James, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And notice the comparison there. The second part of that verse, it says, he that maketh haste to be rich. All right, so that word haste, all right, is not something that really aligns with faithful. Faith, being faithful takes time. And so that's what Proverbs is trying to tell us. If I want to abound with blessings, I need to be faithful. And that is going to take some time, amen, to prove myself worthy of trust. If we are looking at those two scriptures, we see the same word in both scripture, and that word is faithful. God is good, amen? So he's so good that he blesses what he requires. You got it? When you look at those two verses together, he requires faithfulness, but then he says, if you're faithful, I'm going to bless you for being faithful. Now, he could just have a requirement and just check the box and say, I'm glad you did it, all right? But that's not who he is. Because he's good, he's going to bless us for obedience, amen? So if I'm a good steward and I'm faithful with what I have been given, I will be blessed with more. Here's a key point. The key to making progress is the consistent application of biblical principles. Repeat that after me. Say, the key to making progress is the consistent application of biblical principles. And see, faithfulness is more about consistency than it is about intensity. It's more about consistency than it is about intensity. God's not asking us to be spectacular. He's asking us to be faithful. And faithful sometimes looks boring. I heard somebody say one time, don't get bored with the basics. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have in contemporary society is we get bored with the basics. We're always looking for the next thing that glitters, the next thing that glows, the next trend, the next fill in the blank, whatever it is. But we've got to learn that, wait a minute, I need to slow down and just simply be faithful. So you already know I'm going to have how many points? Three. Not one, not two, but three. So point number one is be faithful in your walk. Be faithful in your walk. Being faithful in your walk is all about making God your priority. Everything flows from your relationship with him. There's nothing that does not flow from your relationship with him. So let's look at Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. We'll be reading the New King James. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You just got to love Jesus here. You know, the Pharisees, they were trying to trip him up, basically for him to give an example of one commandment, and they were going to pit one commandment against all the others. But Jesus knew what they were after. And being the Word made flesh, how many know he wasn't going to be fooled? He had an answer for him. He was ready for him. Jesus was basically saying, let me set you all straight and summarize God's law. And that's what he did. Everything hangs on this. These two commandments are the foundation of everything else. If you obey these two, everything else falls in line. Amen? Now, we all have closets at home, right? Not a trick question. We all got closets. What do we do with closets? We hang clothes in our closet, right? And we hang them on usually a bar or something that goes across, whatever you want to call it, right? So if the bar breaks or I remove the bar, what happens? Yeah, everything hanging on it collapses and gets messed up. If someone was going to run into your closet and you got all these nice clothes and took them to the cleaner, they're looking good. You know, if you're like me, they're all faced the right way, you know, not all twisted, you know, they're all done the way that you like it. And someone comes running in and wants to grab that bar. You're going to say, don't grab the bar. You're going to mess everything up. Why don't I want you to grab the bar? Because everything hangs on this. Well, everything hangs on loving God and loving others. If you remove loving God and loving others from the equation, everything else collapses. You got it? Amen. That's a good place to clap. So this is the foundation of being faithful in my walk with God. So how can I be faithful in my walk? Great, great question. I can spend time in God's word. I need to spend time in God's word. I must have the conviction that I'm not going to approach the word casually, but I'm going to approach it from the mindset of, you know, this is God speaking to me. I'm going to take it personally. I'm not just going to read it, you know, and put it to the side. I'm going to invest myself in it. I'm going to be faithful by regularly spending time in the Word of God. Here's the key. We've got to set aside time and make it a part of what we do. You know, my morning ritual is first. Deb's always up earlier. You know, I think that runs in the family because Pastor James is always up earlier than Lady. So Deb's up way earlier than I am. You know, when I wake up, first thing, Keurig, coffee. I got to hear the drip going on. You got it. So got the coffee. I'm headed out to our balcony just to read my word, sip my coffee, and enjoy nature. Amen. But that's what I do. And I'm ritualistic about it. I do it every day. I got to have the coffee. I got to have the word, and I got to sit on the porch. Like all three got to be intact. All right. Joshua 1:8 starts out by saying this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." You see that day and night. We see the same phrase in Psalm 1:2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he do what? Meditate day and night." There you see it again. That's the consistency of it. Amen? So if you're sitting there, and we've all been there at different times, you're like, okay, I read the word for 3 weeks straight, then I don't know what happened. You got it? Because it's so easy to fall out of good habits, you know, and into not so good ones. That's called the flesh. You got it? So if that's you this morning and you're like, you know, I don't know what happened. Okay, here's what I want to encourage you with. Number one, don't beat yourself up. I got a little homework for you. Pick a chapter in the Bible. I'll give you one. Psalm 1. It's only 6 verses. Read that chapter every day for a week. But here's the thing. Before you read it, pray. Say, Lord, I thank you that when I read this word, you're going to show me something about this that I haven't seen before. All right. And do that every day for a week. And at the end of a week, you will notice a difference. You will have learned more. You will have seen more. You will have experienced more. So we've got to approach spending time in the Word from the standpoint of faith, that these aren't just empty, dead, dry words on a page from theologians thousands of years ago. No, God's word is active. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It can speak to our situations. Amen. It can provide direction for my family. Praise God. And when you do that, you start to get in a flow of consistency. And so this is what happens in Psalm 119, 103. I love it, where David says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It takes time to get there, but you can get there. I was thinking about when Deb and I first got married, I was just in love. I wasn't thinking about cooking. You know, I'm a very practical person. So if you know me, you know, you're like, you mean you weren't practical? No, I really wasn't. I was just happy in love. We're doing the wedding. We're doing all these things. So we got married. I didn't even know Deb could cook until after we got married. That was just something the Lord just, here you go, Pat. We're going to take care of you, buddy. All right. He just kind of threw that in there for me. And so, you know, she began to cook. And I mean, man, you know, at the beginning, people were telling her, man, you're going to get him spoiled. You're making him hot breakfast, hot lunch, hot dinner. You're going to get him spoiled. And I'm like, well, say what you want. You keep feeding the cat stays. Here I am 24 years later. Praise God. Amen. And our marriage is as strong as ever. The reality is, funny story is, Deb actually had, she had a cat, but because I was allergic to cats, she had to get rid of the cat. So prayerfully, she does not regret that trade. You have to ask her second service. I don't. Prayerfully, she still does not. But she was such a good cook, and I remember one time, this was new, she makes this pumpkin pie. You know, pecan pie is number one. Not pecan, it's pecan. If it's the ones that taste right, you gotta say pecan. All right, number two, number two is pumpkin, okay? And really now, because I've lived in the South so long, pumpkin and sweet potato is like 6-7, right? 6-7, you know, I don't know, I could eat either one, all right? But pumpkin pie, this pumpkin pie was so good. She made it, all right? We both had a piece before we went to bed. You know, we went to bed, I wake up in the middle of the night, I gotta use the restroom, and I get up, and first thought in my head, the pasta in my head was pie. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, Deb's asleep. Oh, this is great. So I just start eating that pie, man. And I was just so happy about this pie. So next morning, you know, of course, Deb gets up earlier, you know, and she says to me, I thought you loved me. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you only saved me a tiny piece of pie. I said, let me explain something to you. The reason why there's even a tiny piece of pie left is because I love you. You got it? Don't get it twisted. So because I tasted the pie and found it to be good, I wanted more. As a step of faith, I spend time in the Word and it becomes good to me. And now I have the desire for more. You get it? Praise God. All right. So how can I be faithful in my walk? I spend time in God's Word. Also, I can pray consistently. And Jesus said in Luke 18:1 in the King James, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So prayer is a cure for fainting. If I pray continuously, I will not faint. When it doesn't look right, pray. When it doesn't feel right, pray. My father-in-law, Bishop Jim McIver Sr., he used to say, there's two times to pray. When you feel like it and when you don't. So it's always going to fit in one of those categories. So we need to pray. Amen. And that really just sums it up right there. And one of the things we can do is, okay, if we're struggling in our prayer life, go back to the Word. Pray the Word. Speak it out loud. Put yourself in there. You know, at the beginning, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I was 22 years old. Amen. And knew that, hey, you know what? This is the Holy Spirit getting a hold of my life, and I'm going to do this. So many, many moons ago, so I would listen to Bishop's tapes. Tapes. You got it? You know what a tape is? Okay, some of it's like over there. No. So I would sit there listening to the tapes, and I would turn to the scriptures. Like I was in service. You know, of course, a lot of us don't use pages, but we understand what I'm trying to say right now. Okay, so I would sit there, and that's how I would take the Word in. But then I would pray. I would just pray. I always prayed Psalm 23. Why? I liked it, and it seemed to work. So sometimes we're looking for something new, and God's just saying, listen, just be consistent. Be consistent with what you got. He can take the same word, you say it over and over and over again. You can get more life out of it than you ever imagined because there's life in the Word. Amen? Praise God. So in being faithful in our walk, amen, we need to spend time in the Word of God and pray consistently. Point number two for being faithful is be faithful in your place. Be faithful in your place. Amen. All right, so you need to put your heart and soul into what God has entrusted to your care. So first area we need to be faithful with is our church attendance. Church attendance is important, and I'm proved to you from the scriptures why. Showing up consistently matters. Faithful church attendance wasn't my idea. It's God's idea. Amen. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. We're going to read it and we're going to dissect some of this. I want you to see the progression of what actually happens and why it's so critical to the strength of your faith. All right. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, when I was studying for this, remember how I was telling you, you read the same thing over and over again. You see things you never seen before. Well, I saw some things in these three verses. When I look at them together, maybe you've seen it before, but I've never seen it before. All right. So verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Why should I do this? Why should I hold fast the profession of my faith without wavering? It says right there, the answer, for he is faithful that promised. So God expects us to be like him. The writer of Hebrews is saying that because God is faithful, I should be faithful. We follow in God's faithfulness. So I should be faithful because he's faithful. Another way to say this is the platform of my faithfulness is his faithfulness. Where did I get it from? I didn't get it from myself. I got it from him. Said another way, my faithfulness is an extension of God's faithfulness. So we answered the question, why? Another question, how? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. How do I do that? Great question. See, a lot of times we think faith is just me, myself, and I. But faith is actually more than that. To really grow and develop the way God wants us to, there are some things that must go along in order for me to develop my faith personally. How do I not waver? Great question. All right, let's go to verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So 23 and 24 both start out with the phrase, let us. It says, let us and let us. So those two go together. So it says there, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So that's a good kind of provoke. You know, you've heard there's a certain aggressiveness about the word provoke, right? You've ever seen somebody provoked? You know, I remember one time as a kid, well, I was a little more than a kid, I guess I was a teenager. I'm driving through the city where I live and everything, and I look over, there's these two ladies on the porch, and they're fighting. All right? One lady's got the other lady in a headlock. And the lady who's in a headlock, man, she used so many swear words in such a short period of time. It was like almost like it was a gift. I'm like, wow. I'm like, I wouldn't drive them by that long, right? And the lady still has her in the headlock, right? All right. And the lady who just finished cussing, next thing she says is, in the name of Jesus, let me go. She figured that cussing didn't work. So I don't know what happened. I had to keep going. But they both looked tough, and I wasn't going to tangle with either one of them. I had things to do. All right, so the word says in verse 23, 24, let us. So let us is what? Is it singular or plural? It's plural. It doesn't say let me. It says let us. So whatever he's talking about has to do with us. Amen? So verse 25 is the answer. How do I do all this? So how do I hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering? And how do I consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works? Verse 25 is the answer. Amen. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And this I want you to understand. There are some things you cannot get by yourself. You can only get them together. The strength of your faith has everything to do with who you gather with. You don't grow in isolation. You grow in fellowship. Praise God. Isn't that good? You don't grow by yourself. You got to be around others. The word says iron sharpens iron. So by us rubbing elbows with each other, you know what's happening? We're coming in here. Spirit of God is moving. We're worshiping. We're praising. The word is being taught. Regardless of whether I'm aware of it or not, my spirit is being fed and my faith is getting stronger. Praise God. So by your church attendance, another way that you can be faithful in your place is through your serving, using your gifts and talents. Everyone has a gift, amen, and the church isn't built on spectators. One of our twin daughters, Sia, Esperancia is her full name for short. She's in the military. She's in the Navy, and she's killing it. She's been in like 4.5 years, doing great. She just took the test to pass. She's an E6. Which is really good, supposedly. It is good. I'm not a military person, but it's like, what are you talking about? All these acronyms, just speak English. You guys, like, you know, so right, she's currently out to sea, what they would call an underway, which is basically a training exercise. But when she was a little girl, one of the most favorite things we used to do together, she loved to do puzzles. She was 7, 8, 9. You know, Deb would tell her, hey, it's bedtime, and I wouldn't know it. And then she kind of come up to me and say, Daddy, can we do a puzzle? Not knowing what, you know, so we're sitting there doing a puzzle and everything. I didn't know. She said it was bedtime. So I'm like, she's looking at me. I'm looking at her. I'm like, she just, you know, but Sia, she loved to do puzzles. But I learned something from puzzles. All right. Three main things. Number one, no two pieces are exactly alike. Number two, it's easy to connect the pieces that were supposed to be together. And number three, if I had to force a piece, it meant it was in the wrong place. Amen. I want to encourage you today from God's word to be faithful in your place. Amen. Ephesians 4:16 in the New King James, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every part of the body doing its share causes the body to grow. Isn't that powerful? So I want to encourage you, family, today that, you know, if you're on the dream team, be faithful in your dream team assignment. It's making a difference. Amen. And if you're not on the dream team today, I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. Let us help you get plugged in somewhere. It'll make a difference. You may not think it will, but a big church becomes small when you get involved. And sometimes you just got to take that step. Amen. That step outside of yourself and that step of connection. And I want to encourage you today to go ahead and take that step of faith. All right. And another way to be in your place is your giving. Amen. Amen. Giving is an act of trust and worship that produces increase and an amazing life. I want to look at Malachi 3 and 10. We're going to read that in the King James. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So Holy Spirit said this to me, if it's not open, you can't pour. And that's fresh man. I'm like, Lord, I've read this verse thousands of times. I'm like, if it's not open, you can't pour. So if I ask you to pour me a glass of sweet tea and the spout to the pitcher is shut, will anything come out? Nothing will come out. You must first open the spout. So you and I, we hold the key to the windows of heaven being open. What's the key? The key is the tithe, that 10%. The tithe, get a load of this, it's the starting point. It's not the end, it's the starting point. If we're not tithing, we're not yet at the starting point. And God wants us to be at the starting point and then move beyond the starting point. So here's the principle behind giving, the principle behind tithes and offerings is that God can do more for me than I can do on my own. Repeat that after me. Say, God can do more for me than I can do on my own. Amen. Amen. And our point number three is be faithful until the end. Amen. Be faithful until the end. I'm going to have you stand at this time. I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to lead you in a brief confession. But 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Repeat after me, say, I will remain committed regardless of the circumstances. I will not quit when life gets hard. I will stay faithful through tough seasons. I will stay faithful when no one notices. I will run and finish my race well. I will be faithful unto the end. Amen. Do you receive that today? Amen. Would you give God a hand of praise? Amen. He is so good. Listen, I just want to pray for you for a moment. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much today for your goodness just being demonstrated all throughout the service. And God, I thank you that you know every heart in this room and you know every name every situation by situation, person by person. I thank you for your grace for each one of them for this season, Father. And I declare over them your peace, your blessings. I thank you that they have the wisdom that they need to navigate this season that they are in successfully. I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father God, that you're making things abundantly clear. You promised and you said the steps of a righteous person, they are ordered by you. So I declare, Father, that you are ordering their steps in your word. And God, we glorify you today, praise you, and thank you for who you are, for what you are doing. We take this word, Father, and we take it to heart and we put it to use, God. And I thank you, Father, that the amazing belongs to us. And we thank you, Father God, that this is still our year of manifested faith. So we continue to declare that we believe God no matter what. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Can you give God a hand of praise? Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody.